Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Ah, there I am. Thank you. Sorry. Thanks so much. I want to just apologize to you right now if you have a child graduating this year for showing you that video. And if you need tissues, you can get up and go grab some if you would like. It's a little heart-wrenching for you, but I love the picture that it gives us. And I know Trey introduced me, but I always just like to highlight that this is not my normal role on a Sunday morning, and that if it is your very first time here, I beg you to come back, because my husband is an amazing communicator of God's Word, and I would love for you to make plans to be here next week to hear him. But I am so glad that you're here today, and I can't wait for God to speak to you, and I hope that he will over our time together, because that video sets up perfectly where we want to go today during our time here. I always like one more thing real quick before we move on. I kind of want to just poll the room and see if any of you fall in this category like I do. Are any of you out there just ADD enough to like get scatterbrained, but like you don't need medicine yet? Or anybody, any fellow people out there? Okay. That's the kind of person communicating with you today. So if I get off my notes, I'm just going to say, you know, ADD squirrel and run back to them, and we'll all be okay together, all right? Okay, I just like to make sure you know what you're getting up front in this. So, but that video we just saw, I love it, because it points out exactly where God wants to go today, I think. And it started with that phrase that even if you're not a parent, you've heard before when it comes to parenting, because everyone says it. And the phrase was, it's just a face. How many times have we all heard that, right? And maybe you're in the room today and you're not a parent, but you know what it's like to go through these phases, right? We all are in different phases of our lives at different times. So maybe you're not a parent today, but you're in a phase that you thought might last longer than it would. Or maybe you're in a phase that you never saw coming. Or maybe you're still a student and you're looking at the next phase of whatever, if it's college or a job or whatever. I can't wait for God to speak to you today as well. But if you are a parent in the room, you really know phases, because they come so quickly and they go so quickly. So if you're in the phase of a newborn, you know that phase kind of lasts longer than you thought it would in the beginning when they're not sleeping, right? And then you blink and you're like, oh, they're toddlers. Oh, it's a different phase. By the way, toddlers is why we don't have four kids. Toddlers are why we only have three. Couldn't do the two-year-olds again. Just couldn't happen, right? Or maybe you have a preschooler. Maybe you're in the preschooler phase. I love that phase. It's one of my favorite phases of parenting. And specifically when they go through the question phase. Do y'all ever experience that? If you haven't, don't grab a preschooler, but talk to a preschooler. Talk to a preschooler afterwards, and immediately they'll start asking questions. Now, we have three boys. They are 7, 10, and 12, and our youngest, Jacob, has never left that phase. He asks questions, or he talks constantly. Trust me, we're going to get to Jacob a little bit more in our time together today. He's awesome, but he talks all the time, and he never stops asking questions. Or maybe you're in, like, the tween age. Like, I call it that just, oh, it's just right when they're in the elementary ages, and they don't quite have all the moodiness yet or the attitude yet that you might find with your teenager phase. This is an amazing phase. I love it. That's where most of our children fall. Or maybe you are in that place where you're experiencing a hardship in your parenting. You have a teenager, and they are moody, and they are rebelling in some way, right? And you just keep telling yourself, it's just a phase. We're going to get out of this one, right? So we all go through these phases, and I think it's easy for us to recognize them. We can all see this happening in our life. Maybe you're in the sitting here today, and you are a grandparent. Trust me, your adult children need you to parent them through the phases that their children are going through. We still need that. But each one of these phases we can recognize. And I think the better question that we need to ask ourselves is not just do we see them, but what's our perspective of the phase that we're going through? Because our perspective of it changes everything. Right? Do you guys know that? The way you see things, the way you perceive them, your perception of something changes everything. And the perception of our phases we go through, the perception of the phases our children go through changes everything. I see this example so much in our house of perspective when it comes to the breakfast time. We have three boys, and they all view the time that we're supposed to all eat breakfast together, which, by the way, during the school year is 6 a.m. It's super early at our house. And they view this time very differently, okay? Our middle son, John, his perspective of breakfast should be, don't talk to me. I'm going to eat as much as I can in the little amount of time as I can, so I might have 5 minutes to go lay myself down on the couch and get a few more peeps before I have to wake up and get rest, right? That's John's perspective of breakfast. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. I'm just going to do this. Jacob, on the other hand, sees this time as a captive audience is there. No one can go anywhere. We all have to be in the same room, so I get to talk to everybody, and nobody can do anything about it, right? David, our middle schooler, he's on a little different schedule with us, but if he's in the kitchen, his goal is that it is a running commentary of just comedy, constant comedy, which really doesn't make his brother happy that wants to just sit there and quiet, right? And it usually ends, because they come into this with a different perspective, all three of them, it usually ends with John moving to as far out of the room as possible so that even if he hears the spoon scrape the bottom of the bowl, he's just done. He gets up and he abandons breakfast completely and just goes to school hungry, right? But that's the perception they all have. Their perspective of the breakfast time changes everything. And our perspective of the phases that we go through or that we may parent through changes everything. And I think one of the things that God has been teaching me this year especially is to see this from his point of view. And I see in God's word to us and what he's called us to do if you're a parent in the room is to see these phases what they are, because it is just a phase. So we don't want to miss it. It's not lasting. That's what that video showed us. It doesn't last. And some of you were like, thank God, I haven't slept in weeks, right? But it doesn't last, and it is just a phase, so we don't want to miss it. And I know for me, when I hear that, I think, oh, that puts me into a place where I just want to stop time. I don't want them to move from the phase they're in right now. I want to just hold them right there. No, don't move, right? And that kind of makes me sad, and it makes me not really enjoy where I am, but I don't think that's what this means. It's just a phase, so don't miss it. It's our opportunity to see the phases for what they are, the perspective of it, that it's not forever. So what are we going to do with the phase that we're in right now? Like for me, I used to always dread the kind of tween, teen years, you know, the dreaded time whenever they're taller than you and their feet stink because we have all boys. And so it's like, you know, I was dreading that. And I have to tell you, God has been so good to us so far. I'm like, loving this age. I would never go back to the fours. Just today, my son, who's 12, sent me a text. He knew I was a little nervous about having to teach up here today by myself. He sent me a text saying, Mom, you can do all things through Jesus, and I love you. Let me tell you what. Trey prayed over me for 5 minutes before I came out here first hour. That text did more for me than his prayers, the whole thing, right? I love you, baby. I do appreciate that, but it was incredible. But I used to fear where David was. I wanted to hold him where he was because I didn't see the phases for what they were. And that's what I want to talk about today, our perspective of the phase. And to do that, when I was really thinking about this message, God brought to mind a great example in the Old Testament of what it looks like when you have a phase in your life you're going through and what God means for us to do with it. And this book is called the Book of Esther. I love the Book of Esther. And I can't read much of it to you today. We're going to pick a few verses. I'm going to summarize some parts. But if you get a chance, you can go back and look, read that for yourself this week. But in the Book of Esther, we find Esther moving into a phase that, one, she never expected. Hello, parenting. And two, she didn't feel equipped for. Hello, parenting, or adulting, or living, or breathing, or anything, right? So Esther starts off her time. Her story is set up where she and her people, the Jewish people, had been in slavery for 7 years. They get set free. They're no longer in slavery. And so a lot of the Jewish people had moved back to Jerusalem. But Esther and her family and a small group of people had stayed where they were, which was Babylon. Eventually, Babylon gets taken over by Persia. And they're there in this new place, still keeping, still trying to set their feet and get settled there. And Esther finds herself in a place where the king has fallen in love with her. And I'm telling you, if you go read it for yourself, there's some jacked up stuff in chapters 1 through 2. If you think you're crazy, go read this and you can see how God can use the craziest of people. I promise you're not too far gone. But in chapter 2, verse 17, this verse is going to set up for us exactly where I think God wants us to go in our pursuit of what to do in the phases that we have and how we don't want to miss them. So let's read this in chapter 2, 17. It says, "The king loved Esther more than all the women, and she found favor and kindness with him." And many scholars say that this serves as a picture of how God sees us. The king loved Esther. The king, God, loves you. And he loves me. And every time we're about to enter into a phase or we find ourselves in a phase where we didn't expect to be, is that the first thing that we think of? Wait a minute. I'm not going to be afraid. I'm not going to walk into this like, oh, I don't know. I don't want it to change. I want it to stay right where I am. I'm going to walk into this knowing that God loves me. And maybe you're here today and you don't know that truth for yourself, that a real God really loves you. I hope today he can reveal to you and you can look back and see how he's pursuing you all your life. But every phase that we step into has to be rooted in the fact that we are loved by God. And this love, when God reveals that to us, when we remember that, what it does is it builds our faith. Because that's what the phases do. Every phase grows our faith. Every single one. If you think back to, no matter where you are, if you think back to just a few things you've gone through and you've pursued God, if you've remembered that God loves you at all in that phase of life, you know it strengthened your faith in him. It's made your relationship with him better. And that's what the phases are meant to do. I know we in our humanness want to just hang on to them and say, oh, I don't know, I'm not ready for this or I can't do this. But they are meant to draw us closer to God and build our faith in him. And not just to build our faith in him, but to help us lead in this time of building our faith. It helps us lead in that time. And I know for me, every time that I've trusted that God is growing my faith, I'm trusting him more, it makes the phases a little bit easier. You know? It makes them have a different perspective. It makes me have a little different confidence. And confidence is something that we talk about a lot at our house, mainly pertaining to our son, Jacob, the youngest one that I've been talking about. Confidence is something that he does not lack. In fact, the other day, he got in the car after school, and he's like, Mom, I saw Charlie at school today. We're playing them tonight. He had a baseball game. We're playing them tonight. And I told him we were beast. We were going to beat them. And I'm like, that is not what you say to your friends, son. He said, you know, I know that. I shouldn't have said it like that. And David, that's our oldest. David says I'm a little overconfident. But I don't even think that's a thing. I was like, that is the very definition of overconfident. Someone says it and you're like, that's not even a thing. I do my thing. I believe that in the phases when we start to walk through something and we know we need to be overconfident in God's love for us, overconfident in the fact that he's there for us. One of these days, I'm going to just do a sermon series all about Jacobisms, and we're going to talk about them. The other day, one more real quick, he got in the car and he said, Mom, he's like, I got bored at school today. I was like, oh gosh, I don't know where this is going. I'm real scared. He said, Mom, I got bored at school today, and I just started thinking, you know, I only have one life. I only get one. I better make it a good one. There you go. In case you needed that nugget today, let God use that however he wants, right? But I love that overconfidence about my child, and it spurs me on to say, God, I want to be that confident in your love for me because that is going to grow my faith. No matter what phase I'm in. I think the verse that we just read had a little bit at the top, set our phases up, how we grow our faith. But I want to read it one more time because the end also had something that I've seen personally. God use it whenever I'm walking through these different phases of my life. Let's go back and read it one more time. It says, the king loved Esther more than all the women as she found favor and kindness with him. So if this is a picture of us and God, do you know that every phase reveals God's favor? And favor just means presence, that he is with you. That it might not look like you want it to, but he's there with you. Do you see the favor of God in your life? I promise if you turn your eyes to God, I know you love me and I am overconfident in that love. I am confident in that. I know I'm going to be able to see your favor, your presence with me. I have a friend who has two sons, and one of her sons has special needs. And Knox is a puzzle piece. They don't know exactly what his needs are, but he is an incredible, incredible kid. And when I'm talking to her, when I'm having conversation with her, with his mom, she'll always tell me, you know, whether she knows it or not, she's always pointing to God's favor. She'll say, gosh, people will just tell me, Knox's smile changes my day, which it will, by the way. Don't tell Trey, but Knox might be my favorite person that comes to this church. He's awesome. Or she'll say, Knox has made such a difference in our family. Or I hear people all the time say how he brings joy to them. And she doesn't even know that she's pointing to the very favor of God in her life, because her phases look different than they thought they would, than she thought they would. His phases look different. But his mom knows that she sees God's favor in it. And that no matter what the next phase brings, God is with her. God loves her. God loves them. And he will continue to grow them. And I promise, what I've seen in her is it allows her to step in and lead her family, to lead them through the unknown phases. So what's your perspective of your current phase? What's my perspective of the phase we're going through? Because I want to revisit Esther real quick. She becomes queen to the king of Persia. And she finds herself immediately in a phase that she was not ready for. In chapters 3-4, you find that Esther's cousin Mordecai, which put that on your baby name list, okay? It's an awesome name, right? Can you imagine if we had a few Mordecais running around here? It'd be so cool. But Mordecai, her cousin, comes to her, and he's caused a little bit of a stir. And this is not like, he hasn't just caused like I'm scraping the bottom of my cereal bowl, you messed with me stir. He's done something to really upset a man that was high in power. His name was Haman. And Haman wanted Mordecai to bow down to him. Mordecai said no, he refused. And so Haman begins to plot to have all the remaining Jewish people in Persia killed. And when Mordecai finds out about this, of course, he's like, well, I have to go tell Esther. She's the queen. Maybe she can do something about this. So we fast forward to Esther 4:14. And this is what Mordecai says to Esther. He comes to her and he says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, I love the way this verse starts. Because it reminds me that when we're in the middle of the phase, especially if you are a parent, it is not our job to keep quiet about it. To just say, I'm going to wait until this blows over. I'm just going to suffer in the years of the teenagism, right? No. Your children don't need that in you. They need you to step in and lead them. Mordecai was coming to Esther saying, I need you to lead. I need you to help us. And the rest of the verse, it says, after it says, if you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place, but you and your relatives will die. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? I love that. Because sometimes we just need to be reminded that this is not, the phase we're in is not a surprise to God, that he loves us, he is with us, and that he has created you for such a time as this. Talk about build confidence in the fact that God is with you. And especially to any moms out there who feel like they're not ready for the next phase or they're not equipped. God has created you to be that child's mom. God has created you to be with you and to walk you through it. You were created for such a time as this. Can we now say, okay, God, I know I can walk confidently in this because you've said for such a time as this I was created. Because it is just a phase. So you don't want to miss it. And if we're too busy saying, I can't do it, I can't do this phase, I can't make it, we're going to miss the opportunity that God has for us in it to point our people to him and to walk through it with them and see his favor with it, because every phase does build your faith. And every phase reveals God's favor. And the reason this matters, the reason that being in the moment, being in the phase, don't miss it, bring God in, know he loves you, walk confidently in that, see his favor, is because every phase that you're going through right now, it prepares you for the future. Every single thing is preparing you for the future that God wants for you. This is true in Esther's story. To kind of quickly summarize it, she comes queen. They need her. She steps into her God-given call. She outwits Haman, the guy who's trying to get all the Jewish people killed. And the king takes her side, and he actually has Haman hung on the gallows that he had built to hang all the Jewish people. I told you, jacked up. Jacked up. Really jacked up people, but God used them. Esther did not miss her opportunity to step into that phase and say, God, I stand on what I'm supposed to. And I love that example, and I will tell you, I have a hard time thinking about the future when it comes to my kids, if you're a parent in the room. Just this week, Trey took me away for a night to Raleigh, North Carolina. I wanted to go see one of my favorite comedians for Mother's Day. I know, we're so weird sometimes, right? But I love this comedian. He was coming to Raleigh. He's awesome. So Trey got us tickets and we went. And we didn't know, we happened to be staying on the very corner of the campus at NC State. I'd never been there. It was a gorgeous campus. So we were there, and, you know, we just happened to be staying where the elevator had, like, glass all the way, and we happened to be staying on the top floor. And wouldn't you know, it just happened to be graduation weekend. I was like, all right, God, I get it. I see all the faces. I get it, right? But one of the times I was going up to our room, I looked out, and we kept seeing all the kids in their cap and gown, and they were taking pictures with their friends out by this monument that must have been, like, special for that campus. And I kept watching them. I was like, oh, that's so cool. I was actually more thinking, oh, I remember when I graduated college. It was yesterday, right? But I was riding up the elevator one time, and I looked out, and I happened to see a mom straightening the cap of her son, sorry. And I'm not like that kind of mom usually, but I immediately saw David's face. I saw my oldest son's face. And it caught me. I mean, I caught my breath. And I had that pull of, no. I'm just saying no to that face, right? And God just very gently whispered, don't say that. You'll be ready. He'll be ready. He'll be ready when that time comes, because I am with him. I am with you. He'll be ready, because when you point them to me, they're going to see my favor. They're going to see my presence in their life. And I am preparing them for the future I want for them. And I was so thankful for that picture of that just monumental phase. And I was so thankful for the comfort that God brought me in that moment, because every phase does prepare you for the future. And it is just a phase. So you don't want to miss it. And what I pray, I've really been praying that as we kind of close our time together today, that anytime you're walking through something and you hear that word, because people are going to say it, oh, it's just a phase. It's just a phase. If you're one of the moms in here who has a little baby and they're like, the days are long, but the years are short. I remember a time when I wanted to just sock somebody that told me that. Like, you stay up with them all night then, right? But do know it's just a phase. See God's opportunity in it. See this as an opportunity to say, I'm going to turn to you, God. I'm going to step into this with the confidence that you love me, the confidence that you are there for me, and that I know that every single thing we're going through in this phase is going to prepare us for the future that you want for us. I'm going to continue to point my life and my child's life in that direction. Because it is just a phase. So you don't want to miss it. We're going to close today with a song. And we're going to have some prayer team up here. If you need anyone to pray with. If you have a child that's leaving home soon and you don't know what to do, we'd love to pray for you. or anything you have going on in your life, we would love to do that. But this song we're going to sing takes us back to the very core of what allows us to get through anything that we're going through in our life, any phase that we're going through. We're going to sing a song about God's reckless, never-ending love for us. And I pray today that no matter what phase you find yourself in, that you cling to that, that you step into that, and you confidently lead yourself or your family through whatever phase God has you in, because he's with you. Let me pray for us. God, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you for your tangible love. We thank you that in every phase we go through, you are with us. God, I pray that you help us to see that you are building our faith through everything we go through, that you are revealing that you are present with us no matter what the circumstance, and that we can confidently step into that, and we can know you're preparing us for a future. God, I pray that you would just comfort us, wrap your arms around us no matter where we are today, God, and help us to see joy in this journey that we're on and that you are with us. God, we love you so much. Thank you for your never-ending, reckless love. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.